Turning in God's Word this morning to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We find this particular verse in what is known as the wisdom section of God's Word. And as we come to the book of Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, we find that there is great help for us in looking at the things of life. There are some very pithy statements that we have in the Proverbs in particular that give us great help in all matters of life. There is great wisdom for the training of children. There is good counsel, particularly in this chapter here, for finding a wife for a young man. And we find that there are sensible instructions on the use and the misuse of alcohol, for example. But above all of that, we find that the book of Proverbs is a wonderfully Christ-centered book. And we have to come to God's Word continually and see Christ in all the Scriptures. And so as we come to God's Word, we must ask ourselves two questions. We must ask ourselves, first off, what is God saying to us here today? What is God teaching us through His Word? And we must come with that sense of being those that are students to be taught by the Master, and not come as those that have that position of authority trying to critique or come with some kind of judgment on the Word of God. God's Word must be authoritative to us and not us adding our own opinion on it over it. So what is the Lord saying to my soul? And then the second thing is, what does this passage teach me or reveal to me concerning Christ Himself? We see Christ in all the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And we have that wonderful thread, that wonderful chain of redemption. And how does this particular passage that I have here reveal Christ to me? How do I experience something new regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and His great work of redemption? Well, you may say, well, it's quite hard. How do I see Christ here? Well, let me give you an illustration. And this was with Jonathan Edwards, a famous preacher in America, and he was speaking to somebody that just preached. And it goes like this. A poor sermon, said the preacher. It took me a long time to study it. My explanation of the text was accurate. The illustrations were appropriate, and the arguments conclusive. Will you tell me why you think it was a poor sermon? Jonathan Edwards replied, because there was no Christ in it. Well, said the preacher, Christ wasn't in the text. We're not to be preaching Christ always. We must preach what is in the text. And then Jonathan Edwards replied, then don't take a text without Christ in it. But you will find Christ in every text if you examine it. From every text in Scripture, there is a road to Christ. And my dear brother, your business is, when you get to a text, to say, now what is that road to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then preach a sermon running along that road. I have never yet found a text that had not had a plain and direct road to Christ in it. And if ever I should have found one that has no such road, I will make a road. I would go over hedge and ditch, but I would get at my master, for a sermon is neither fit for the Lord, nor yet for the peasant, unless there is a savour of Christ in it. There will be many people standing in pulpits today that will give their opinions, give their thoughts, give their ideas, give their encouragements. What we want to know is Christ in it? And as we come to God's Word, what is God teaching me? And how do I see Christ in these passages? So the book of Proverbs is not just a directory for happy and healthy living, but it is a book that reveals to us the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we have one such verse here in Proverbs 18 and verse 24 that reveals to us a wonderful facet of Christ and His Word. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, as we think about this passage. We must first think about worldly friends and the friendships that we have in this life. The text makes it very clear that if we are to have friends, a friend must show himself to be friendly. And Solomon in this passage has been thinking about the qualities of what makes a good friend. And we know, naturally speaking, friends are a great blessing. I'm sure you have good friends. And we know what it is when the hurt of when we perhaps feel on our own and isolated, when we don't have the friends that we desire. In chapter 17 and verse 17, we have these words, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And it's often in the difficult times that we tend to find out who our true friends are. When the chips are down, as it were, then we know who the friends are that are standing by us. We thought a couple of weeks ago concerning the prodigal son. And there was a man who went away from his father's house. He spent all that he had. He had great parties, had lots of people round about him. But when the trials of life came, when the difficulties occurred, and when he had no money left, we find he was on his own. Nobody was there to help him. And those so-called friends disappeared like mist on a summer's morning. But true lasting friendship is something that endures. And that is why it is relatively uncommon. You will probably recognize that you have just a few very good, very close friends. And that's very different to the Facebook mentality of today, where people have thousands of friends and followers. These are not friends, because they are not there when the trial gets difficult. But the writer here is speaking in the first instance about how in temporal, in earthly relationships, in order to keep our friends, we must be friendly to other people. In other words, a friendship must be constantly worked at. Friends will disappear and vanish if our friendship wanes. If, for example, our friends are based upon parties and good times and that kind of thing, when that disappears, those friends will go as well. If we find ourselves having friends at work, we will have those friends at work all the time we're at work, but if we leave that job or something happens or we're in long-term sick or something like that, the friends that we had in those places are perhaps not quite as good friends as we thought. And so when we think about friends, we must reciprocate that friendship. I'm sure we know when friendships fail, when good friends do not do what they ought to do, when they turn their backs on us in our time of need, when they take advantage perhaps, or when they desert. We find them joining with our enemies, perhaps. When we think about the friends of this world, it is often characterized by letdown and failure. And when we look about our friendship with this world, the world in and of itself promises so much. It promotes itself as being so friendly, so inclusive, so welcoming. It offers great hopes and great dreams. But we know how everything ends in nothingness. This world offers so much but delivers very little. And when we think about this world's friendship, it is only ever temporary. It will come to an end at death. And when the world would encourage people to make the most of life, eat, drink, and be merry, that is the mantra that we often hear, or it blinds us to the prospects of eternity. The friendship of this world hides from us the reality of heaven and hell. It hides from us the realities of God and what he has done and the great blessings of salvation. The world promises riches but offers nothing but filth in return. Well, the world is often like a wrapped up present. Think about Christmas. Perhaps when you're a child, you have this great box. Oh, it looks so welcoming, so inviting. And then you open it, and perhaps it's not what you expect. And this world is very much like an empty box. Oh, it has great glitter on the outside. It has great wrapping paper that has great appeal. But when you open it, oh, there's nothing there. And that is like the world. Well, the friend of the world. It takes everything and gives nothing in return. We find in verse 24 of Proverbs chapter 18 a wonderful prospect. We have revealed here there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And here is a word of hope. In contrast to what we see so often, there is one, and there is only one, that sticketh closer than a brother. And so when the going gets difficult, there is one that will remain a friend. There is a friend that continues with and sticks with us through every changing scene of life. And what a wonderful contrast this friend is in comparison to the friend of this world. And this is the best kind of friend that we could ever have. And as we think about this verse, we see here so clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, if we have this friend, then none else will do. If we have this friend, all our needs are satisfied. If we have this friend in Christ, then we have that great prospect of eternal security in heaven. As we think about Jesus being the best kind of friend that we could have, the reason that he is that best friend to us is that he knows us in the first place. Everything about us is known unto him. There are no secrets that we can hide. There's nothing that we can put away and not discuss because he knows everything about us. From the trivial to the transcendent. He knows the hairs upon our head. He knows the thoughts that are in our mind. He knows what we have done in the week that is past. He knows what we're going to do in the week that is before us. When the theologians would describe it as being omniscient, you turn to Psalm 139 and you see so clearly the nature of the knowledge of God. And when we think about our Savior, he is the one who knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. And he is the one who knows our works. And so as we think about the knowledge of Christ, he knows us. He sees us. Nothing is hidden from him. But not only this, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who has identified himself with us. He has come into this world. God has become man. He hasn't saved from a distance or saved remotely or saved through another. He has come himself. He identifies with his people. And so he knows what we're like and he still identifies with us. He knows what it is to suffer. We know that he is the one who was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what it was to be weary and exhausted. He knows what it was to be abandoned and to be betrayed. He knows what it was to suffer bereavement. He knew what it was to be tempted. He knew what it was to see the devastating effects of sin. He is that great high priest, touched with our infirmities, yet without sin. And as we come to him, as we look at him, as we recognize his friendship toward us, if we are his people, oh, we have one who knows everything about us and identifies himself with our needs. He is a friend who knows our struggles, knows our weakness, knows everything about us. He is a true friend. He's not been put off or turned away by our failures or our faults. And when the world walks out, he is the one that will remain. And so we have Jesus Christ, the perfect representation of that best friend. He knows us. And yet still sticks close to his people. But having known what we're like, having seen what we have done, having identified himself with us, we find that his motives toward us as his people are those of love. Best friendships are born from love. And when we think about Christ's relationship to his people, when we think about what he has done for his people, oh, it is all out of love. Turn with me to a few scriptures to illustrate this point. Titus chapter 2 and to verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There we have the sense of the gift, giving himself, offering himself for his people. 1 John 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Turning back to Galatians chapter 1 and to verse 4. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Here we find our Saviour loving his people, dying for them, giving himself. Romans chapter 5, and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his love, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here we find the love of God, the love of the Saviour in dying for those that are unlovely and really quite unlovable. And we find that he gives himself. And we think about his sacrifice and his death. Oh, words cannot describe the way in which he would descend into this world to give himself for his people, who in being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here we find the Saviour descending and stooping in order to save his people. What a great demonstration of love he has for them. And so the best friend that we could ever have is one that knows us and one that loves us. We notice also he is the one that defends us. We could turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and there we have a picture of Christ being the captain of our salvation. He is the one that leads us and guides us and protects us. In Revelation 19, he's described as that conquering king riding out to victory. We have one who is a best of friends, and he will silence all the accusations of Satan. We have in Proverbs chapter 18 another picture of Christ being that strong city, a strong tower, one that we can run to. And he is the one that will protect. In Revelation 12, we're reminded that the devil is the author and the father of lies. He is the one that accuses the saints. And Satan will come continually and say, look at that sin. Look at this one. See what this one has done. And how does Jesus respond? Well, he said it on the cross, it is finished. It is done. It is completed. Redemption is accomplished and applied. Blood has been shed. Therefore, there is remission for sin. Oh, when the law would condemn, Christ says, look unto him. The sinner that has come into union with Christ, oh, they have their sins forgiven. Their account has been wiped clean. But they also have credited to them the wonderful righteousness of Christ from God. And on that day of judgment, this best of friend that we could ever have will say, this one is mine. This one is mine. That one is mine. Why? Because I've loved them. And I've given myself for them. Their lives have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, the friend that we have here, Proverbs 18, verse 24, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he is the one that loves us but he has also given us every spiritual blessing. Oh, if we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, you find the Apostle Paul starting off in that great chapter. We read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There Paul suddenly soars in his recounting of what God has done and what we have received in Jesus Christ. Or he is the one that blesses us with all spiritual blessings. For the Lord has given to us his Spirit, the Comforter, the one who testifies of him, the one who resides in the hearts of his people. Oh, what a great blessing that is. As we think about the transformation at salvation, at conversion, the heart is changed. New motivations, new desires, new affections are all given by Christ. And everything that we have as a believer is all because of what he has done. We cannot say, well, there is something that I bring to the bargain. There is something that I bring to the table. It is all because of what Christ has done. He gives us everything. Oh, we have his word. We have fellowship in the form of the church. We have eternal life. We have the privileges of adoption. Oh, we have his help. We have his security. We have his guidance. Gives everything to his people. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we think about this friend, not only is he the best of friends, he is that close friend. Throughout God's word, we find the Lord promising to his people that he will be with them, that he will not leave them, he will not forsake them, he will not abandon them. In fact, the very last words that Christ uttered before he ascended to heaven, he would say to his disciples and would say to his church that would follow, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so we find this Savior is the one that is close. He is that good shepherd. That lovely picture in Psalm 23 of the good shepherd. The one that guides and leads. You don't find a shepherd guiding from a distance. Well, perhaps you may do more so today with the 4x4s and things like that. But the shepherd that we have described in Scripture, he is the one that lived with his sheep. He goes with his sheep. He takes his sheep everywhere. He protects them from every trial and every difficulty and takes them into those pleasant lands. Oh, the shepherd here, the friend here, is one that sticks so close. The hymn writer could write, all the way my Savior leads me. Through every winding path of life, the Lord is with his people. And when we consider our situation, if we are a Christian here this morning, a true believer, then we are mightily blessed. We have one who will never abandon us. We will have one that will never forsake us. We will have one who will never cast us off. But we have one also who is always ready to present and represent us in all things. Psalm 121, a lovely psalm of comfort for the Lord's people. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He's not some absent, distant friend who only comes to us occasionally. He is the one that sticks closer than a brother. If we were to ask the question, is there anything that can separate us from the love of God? Is there anything that can separate us from our Savior? Paul has already answered that when he would say that nothing, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. John's Gospel, Jesus would say of his people, none shall pluck them out of my hand. Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands, as the old hymn would go. What a friend we have. None can separate or sever the bond that he has for his people. And so we have this friend that sticks so close. A friend who will never desert. A friend who is loved. A friend who is always there. But as we think about this friend that sticketh closer than a brother, we find that the friendship that we have, the union that we have, is bound by the blood that he has shed. It has been a custom with some to demonstrate their brotherhood by the mingling of blood. You have the term blood brothers, and they have that union between them. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend because of what he has done for us. He gives his blood. He sheds his blood in order that we may be made whole and clean. The one that knew no sin became sin for us. The one who was without sin took our sin. The one who is perfect and righteous gives to us the righteousness that is his. And through his spilled blood, through that new covenant, our salvation is sealed or guaranteed in his blood. The death that he has died, the sacrifice that he has offered, is a once and for all. We may have very close friends, but no friend on earth has done what Christ has done to his people. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Siblings may be very close. Twins may be even closer. But here we have a friend that is closer than all of these. It is a friendship forged through the shedding of Christ's blood. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we think about the faithful friend that we have here. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, we're reminded that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And whilst that reminds us of his eternal nature, it also reminds us of the fact that he is immutable. He is a God who doesn't change. And so what he was like here upon earth 2,000 years ago, he is the same now. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't alter his position. And if he is saved today, he will keep for eternity. And the faithful friend that we have in Jesus Christ, it's constant. How careless we can be with our own friends. How careless we can be in this life. But the love of the Savior for his people is one of faithfulness. As we look about our relationship to Christ, if we are his people, we can often say that we have been faithless. We haven't been faithful, but he has always been that faithful, unchangeable friend. I brought to you the church a few weeks ago from Song of Solomon chapter 5. And there we have the beloved coming, looking for his spouse, looking for his wife. And she makes excuses. She's careless in her love toward him. And he comes. And she doesn't receive him. And then we find for a time that he withdraws. What we find in chapter 6 and following that he is still there. She finds him. And that union is restored. Well, we can be slapdash in our approach to Christ. Our love to him can often be cold. We can be, with our devotion, we can be so heartless. We can be careless in our preparation for God's service. As we come to the house of God, we can come so ill-prepared. And yet we find the Savior always is the faithful one. He is always the one that comes. As we see his dealings with his careless spouse, oh, he receives her, and he restores her, and she is blessed for all eternity. When we consider Christ to us, he is always faithful. When we think about us to him, if we are his people, so often we are unfaithful. But what a faithful friend we have. Well, how does this apply to us? Well, the first thing we must ask ourselves is, do we know this friend at all? Do we know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he to us that friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Do we know him like this? Or is he the friend of some other person? Do we come to church today? Perhaps we've come year after year. And that this is the friend of this church. This is the friend of the person I sit next to. But is he my friend? Is he your friend? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Seek him. Find him. Perhaps you're backslidden. Perhaps we're not where we ought to be. Perhaps our love for the Savior has waned. Perhaps there is sin in our life. Oh, we have a friend that will forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he will restore the backslidden one. Perhaps we feel weak. Perhaps we feel overwhelmed. Perhaps we find life to be so difficult. Or we have a friend here that sticketh closer than a brother. Dear friends, do you know this friend? Is he your friend? Have you proved him to be such? And when eternity will be ushered in, when we will leave this life, if we know this friend, oh, there will be no separating us from him. Safe and secure with him for all eternity. If we don't know him at death or when he shall return, we will never know him in eternity, facing hell without hope, facing hell without prospect of end, facing hell without comfort of any kind of refuge or deliverance. Dear friends, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Going to close by singing 512.